Well, good morning. I just want to say congratulations to you guys for beating us again. We will definitely figure out a way sooner or later here to get our trophy back. So I'm going to dispense. He introduced me. I have time. I know you guys got some things you're going to take care of today. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. Thank you, Pastor Lance, for allowing me to be in your pulpit today. I tell you, it really means a lot to me. I really appreciate it. Thank you. I'd like to say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this church and my church back home. Lord, I pray that you be with these people and with Heritage Baptist Church also. Lord, I pray that today you give me power. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lord, give me the words to say. Lord, I pray that the things that I say today will be edifying to these people, Lord, and pleasing to you. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would please turn in your Bibles to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. We're going to start reading right there in verse 1 of John chapter number 4. The Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." Now skip down, if you would, please, to verse number 28. Verse number 28 says, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him." I'm sure that for most of you in this room, that is a very familiar passage of Scripture. You've all heard about the woman at the well. I've read this account. It's not a story. It's an account. I've read this account many times. I've heard preachers preach from this passage actually two or three times. I saw what we usually see, and I heard what we usually hear. But recently, it was back a few weeks back when we were having our fair ministry, we were giving out those gospel sticks, something different had popped out to me. Now, I've read it, I've heard it, but I always sort of just glossed over this part of this scripture here. The Bible said in verse 28 and 29, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" So Jesus comes to Sychar's well. He meets a woman of Samaria there. Now, the Jews and the Samaritans, they had very little to do with each other. So the disciples, when they saw that, they actually thought that it was a bit odd that Jesus was talking to this woman. But nonetheless, Jesus speaks to the woman of living water. Now remember, she's there at the well drawing water, and Jesus tells her about the living water. He's speaking of himself. He's speaking of the salvation that he would make available to her. He says, now paraphrasing, he says, "Ma'am, I know you're here to get water, but I could give you water to drink that if you do, you'll never thirst again." And she said, "I'd like to have a drink of that water." She trusts Christ. She gets saved. Now, there's something very interesting about this account. This woman of Samaria, she had five husbands. I'm sure you're aware. She was living far from moral respectability. She was probably the last person in Sychar that you would pick to be a good church worker. But Jesus picks her out in just a matter of a minute or two. She goes from being an outcast to becoming the city soul winner, the best church worker in town, in one conversation. I'll tell you what, Jesus knows how to pick them. Who would have ever thought that the maniac of Gadara would have turned his city upside down for Christ? But he did. So this woman, she gets saved, then immediately makes the decision right after her salvation that she is going to influence somebody else. Now remember, she'd come to that well to get water, right? She had her water pot with her. And here the scripture just makes this wonderful statement. She comes to the well. There she is at the well. She starts talking to Jesus. But before long, she finds herself no longer concerned with what brought her there that day. And the Bible here, that wonderful statement is, the woman then left her water pot behind and went into the city. Now, I believe that everything that God puts in this book, that He put in for a reason. She left her water pot behind. I think there's more to that statement than what meets the eye. She goes away from that well empty-handed, but her heart is full. She goes and makes a difference. I mean, she trusted Christ, goes to the sea, she leaves her water pot, she wants to tell everybody she knows about her experience. Here's a fact. She was so interested in telling other people that she just left that water pot behind. Think about it. Her testimony when she gets to town is so powerful that the men that she told, they quit what they're doing and they went out to meet this Jesus. You know what? When they got there, there sat her water pot on the well. There it was. They probably saw it. There it sat. You see, suddenly this woman had something bigger and better on her mind, more than that water pot. I think that her leaving that water pot is actually what made her testimony so powerful. God, for some reason, points out to us that this woman got saved, forsook her water pot, and went into town. Now again, God doesn't just put something in the Bible because there was some space there to fill up. He writes things in the Bible, or He doesn't write things in the Bible because He thought it would be entertaining for us to read. No, every word in this book was put there for a reason. That's why we should not be tampering with it. You know, we shouldn't take words away from it or add words to it. You know, God wrote what He meant, and He meant what He wrote. Again, I've read that story. I've read that account so many times over and over. I've heard it. And it never occurred to me that God, for a reason, put in there that this woman left her water pot. This morning, I'm very, very excited to be here and to preach to you a sermon that I've decided to call The Forsaken Water Pot. What is the big deal about this water pot? Well, number one, I think it teaches us that she chooses others over herself. She chooses others over herself. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This woman chooses to go help others over herself. The fact that she leaves that water pot and runs off to town, well, you can tell she got a dose of salvation. The minute you get saved, you realize there is more to life than just me. Me. Mine. What about me? She suddenly realized that she was excited about getting and going and helping other people. She walks away from her personal thirst and she goes to help others. Now, you know, we've got the availability to have water pretty much whenever we need it, right? But in this situation, there was one well for that whole city, most likely. Maybe even a larger area than that. Just one well. To go and get water wasn't just as easy as turning a handle or moving a faucet. This woman got a taste of salvation and she left her water pot. She took her eyes off of herself and put her eyes on others. That water pot was something that she was going to do for her. How she was going to fulfill her needs. Salvation will turn us from self-centered ways to others centered ways. I tell you, it's amazing. I think it's just amazing that God put that in there. That woman left that water pot. That's what Christianity will do for you, by the way. Many of you, when you got saved, got yourselves into a good church, amen, you realize that the same as the woman, that there's other people that need it. You began to help other people, try to reach other people. You did for other people. Some of you have been at it for a while. I think some of you have probably gone back to the well and picked up your water pot. Now your life's all about you again. Here's a thought. Some of you may need to go back to where you met Jesus and put your water pot down again. Salvation changed her focus. Someone else became her focus. She exchanged a physical thirst, a physical fulfillment, or a thrill, if you will, for some spiritual refreshment. And let me tell you something, I'll promise you, there is no fulfillment that you chase after, no self-fulfillment. Well, some say, I want to go out into the world. I want to get high. I want to get drunk. I want to go to parties. That'll give me some fulfillment. That'll give me a thrill. Nothing in this world will be as much of a thrill as you going out and helping someone find their way to Jesus. Right. Nothing. You know, and with that thrill, you're not going to wake up in the morning with a hangover or a marred reputation. What do you suppose this woman's walk looked like? What do you think she looked like right before her at the well experience? Picture her walk. Carrying that water pot, probably like this, or maybe like this. Okay? Thinking, oh, it's hot. Oh, I'm thirsty. Oh, this well way out here, so far away. This road is bumpy. I'll tell you something. When you have your eyes on you, all you'll do is complain about everything that affects you. Complain, complain, complain. If you'll put your eyes on others, you'll see that all the little inconveniences of life won't really matter that much to you because you'll just be so busy helping others to even notice. Don't be self-centered. Put your water pots down. Number two, I see here that the woman, that she sacrificed immediately for the cause of Christ. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And Luke 9:23-24 says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall gain it. You know, the Bible in those verses isn't talking about you becoming a martyr. That isn't what it's saying. I'll bet you there's people in this room that would find it easier to be put to death for Christ than it is to go out living every single day for Christ. It's a living sacrifice. That's the sacrifice. This woman, she left her water pot. Do you understand how valuable that water pot would have been? Again, they didn't have indoor plumbing. You know, they didn't have an H and a C for hot and cold running water in their houses. You know, they couldn't just go to the refrigerator door and push a button and choose between cubed and crushed. You know, they had no garden hose, no bottled water. That water pot was valuable. You understand, if you had to walk a mile or so every day to get water, I think you'd want to hang on to your water pot, wouldn't you? She decided to walk away and leave that water pot. She was leaving behind something that was extremely valuable and very, very important for her life. It definitely had great monetary value. But it had more than just monetary value. It had physical value also. You know, we need water to live, don't we? I hope you're seeing this about this water. See, there's a signification here that God put in that this woman walked off and she left her water pot behind. When she found salvation, she found something more valuable than her water pot. Let me ask you something. What are you willing to walk away from for God? What is it that God wants you to sacrifice, to leave behind, to turn your back on it, so you can go out and reach others? To her, getting the word out was more important than her comfort and her thirst and the value of that water pot. Reaching her city was worth sacrifice. Let me tell you, if you haven't figured this out yet, you're going to have to learn this pretty soon. Because to truly accomplish some things for Christ, there will be sacrifice involved. That's just all there is to it. God doesn't always allow us to have our cake and eat it too. So you say, well, hey, Brother Young, I want to serve God. I really want to use my life to serve God. I know I'm only here for 60, 70, 80 years or so. I really want to be used by God. But, I do want to have a great big house. I do want to have a few nice cars. I do want to have a lot of money. And I do want to have, 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 and I do want to be used by God. I am very sorry, folks, but it doesn't always pan out that way. She left something valuable behind because she was choosing the life to come over the life of now, and she sacrificed her water pot. Christians of America are willing to serve God as long as it's convenient and it fits into their 401k plans. Jesus said to some men, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, do you understand what that really meant? Some of them were leaving their homes, their houses. They actually left their houses. Some of them left their boats, their fishing gear, their life's work. Some of them left their families. There was sacrifice involved. You know, we need to get a hold of the fact that there is a lost and dying world out there, and we need to sacrifice maybe a few things so we can help reach them. Coming to Sunday school and winning the competition isn't enough. Put your water pots down and go help somebody. Number three, I see here that she put service to God above her own routine chores. Now, everyone needed to go retrieve water from the well every day. She needed to go to that well every single day. She knew that she had daily duties, daily chores, but she also realized there was something big going on. She realized this just might be that moment that I need to set aside my daily routine, my daily schedule, so I can go get something done for Jesus. She knew to get the gospel out was so important, more important than her daily chore of going to get water. Now folks, we need to learn that whatever Jesus needs of us is more important than what we have planned for the day. More important than our plan. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm someone who believes in schedule, okay? I believe that that you should live by a schedule. In fact, I got a feeling there's probably people in this room that if you just manage your time a little bit better, you'd get twice as much stuff done in life. But there's times when God brings appointments into our life that are not on our schedules, they're on God's schedule. We need to let God make a few spiritual interruptions in our day. You should not have said, well, God, I'm just too busy for you today. I don't have time for you right now, God. You'll have to talk to me on Sunday when I go down by the church. This woman's daily, everyday chore was to get water. But she saw she needed to adjust that schedule because God needed something from her that day. We become so busy with our lives that we forget that our lives aren't supposed to be lived for us. They're supposed to be lived for Him. Again, I'm for schedules. Okay? I'm for it. I believe if you're supposed to be at work by 8 o'clock in the morning, you ought to be there by 8 o'clock. I think if you're supposed to take a 30-minute lunch break, you ought to take only a 30-minute lunch break. I think if you're scheduled to be at work from Monday through Friday, you ought to be there Monday through Friday. I think if you tell someone you're going to do something, you ought to do it. I believe that if you tell someone you're going to be there, you ought to be there. But I think it's sometimes we schedule God right out of our lives. What about God? I'm too busy. I didn't need to make too much money. I need to go get some stuff done. Can you fit God in there someplace? You know, it's not always going to be convenient for you to witness to somebody. You say, it's Tuesday. I only go soul winning on Thursdays. Well, I guess we'll just let them go to hell then. Get back to your daily schedule. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. See, we need to be sensitive to God even when we didn't schedule to be sensitive to God. So the fact that this woman left her water pot behind us, we see that she chose others over herself. We see that she sacrificed immediately for the cause of God. We see that she set aside her personal daily schedule that she could do something, that be a part of something that's huge. But not only that, number four, I see that she went alone. She went alone. She didn't let the fact that there was nobody else there to go help her when she needed to get something done for God. She didn't have a partner. There wasn't a group to help her get it done. She left her water pot and she went. You know what this woman could have done? She could have waited around there at the well to see if another woman would come along and get saved. She could have said, I think I'll just wait here. Just see if another woman with a water pot comes and gets born again. Then I'll have a partner and we'll go out and we'll get the job done together. Now, again, don't get me wrong. I think that I'm for us having partners when we go soul winning. But, you know, in this case, she didn't, you know, and she just said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go get it done all by my little bitty self. She launched. Sometimes you must do and stand alone. May I suggest, if you don't have someone to go with you to get something done, do what's right anyways. Have you ever wondered why America is so anemic today? Everybody needs someone to tell them they're doing a good job. Everybody needs someone to pat them on the head. Everybody needs someone to rub their bellies. Think about it. People can't even go to the bathroom to get by themselves anymore. They got to go in groups. You know, I figured out how to do that when I was about 3. And I've pretty much decided since then that I want to do that by myself. Well, what should I do? Do what's right. What about the crowd? Do what's right alone. If no one else is there to help you, do what's right by yourself. Put down your water pots and start serving God. Finally, that word means too much to you. Sorry about that. She left her past behind with that water pot, so neither one would weigh her down. Yeah, I think that she left her past right there on that well. You may say, well, how so? Well, Jesus forgave her, right? That means He forgave her past. She had a bad past. 5 husbands. The one that she was with at that time, she wasn't married to him. Now, Jesus sort of called her number on that one, didn't he? Can you imagine all the unspoken sin and reputation from her past life? Sounds to me like a party life. Can you imagine her local reputation? When she left her water pot behind, I think it also pictures the things from her past that she left right there with that water pot on that well. In fact, I think that the reason that she was there at that time of the day actually speaks to it rather nicely. The Bible says in verse 6 there in John 4 that it was the 6th hour. Now you may or may not know that. That's noon. Their day starts at 6 a.m., not midnight like ours. So it was noon, a very hot part of the day. Don't you figure that most of the women would probably want to go get their water when it's cooler in the morning? She probably waited to make sure all the women were gone before she got to the well. They'd probably snicker at her, maybe look down their noses, laugh at her a little bit, you know, not want to be around her. But this woman, though, she left her past sins and claimed the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. You know, if you're here today and you're saved, God has forgiven your past. Hallelujah! Don't be intimidated by your past reputation and what others may remember about your past. You know what? All of us had bad reputations before we got saved. You may say, well, not me. I didn't have a bad reputation. Yeah, you did. You rejected Jesus Christ. That's the worst thing you can do. It'll send the person straight to hell. You know, God only has sinners to use. So go do something for Jesus. She had the faith in God's forgiveness. I think this woman knew that she was born again. At the very least, she knew she was different. She was probably singing, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed in His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am." I'm telling you right now, she left her sins behind as God cast them behind His back, and He'll remember them no more. He put them in the depths of the sea, the Bible says. Some of you need to claim God's forgiveness right now. I think the apostle Paul did the very same thing. Remember, he was Saul before he became Paul, right? A persecutor of Christians. In fact, he even stood consenting to the death of a deacon. Then he got saved. Then look what he did. I think the Apostle Paul left his water pot back on the well. The Bible says in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Claim God's forgiveness and leave your water pots. Finally, number six, I see that she was productive. All of her efforts paid off. Her choosing others over herself, it paid off. Her choosing to sacrifice whatever she needed for the cause of Christ, it paid off. Her putting service to God over her personal everyday chores and schedule, it paid off. You know, when she went alone, it paid off. The fact that she left her past sins, it paid off. In John chapter 4 there, verse 30, it says, "Then they went out and of the city and came unto him." They went to find Jesus. Her testimony alone made it where these men left what they were doing to go see Jesus. Then verse 39 says, "And many of the Samaritans that of the city believed on him." And verse 41 says, "And many more believed." That's three waves of people going unto Jesus. You know, if I said, "Oh, there's a story in the Bible where it was a tremendous revival, people in waves, three different waves, they came unto Jesus, they got saved," you'd say, "Well, you're probably talking about the Apostle Paul." No, this is the woman at the well. Why? For the saying of the woman. What an incredible work that God allowed this woman to be a part of. Amazing, amazing. A chain reaction of productivity as a result of somebody leaving their water pot behind. My question to you is, what's in your water pot? What's keeping you from getting about to the town and serving Jesus? Thank you.